Now, while the publishing industry is struggling to reinvent itself in a digital age, for many writers, e-publishing is seen as an opportunity long overdue. At the recent Sydney Writers Festival, a session called Who Needs a Publisher Anyway? Drew a full house with queues lined up outside. One of the speakers was Marcus Westbury. He's a writer and blogger. He presented arts programs on ABC television, writes a newspaper column, and started the National Young Writers Festival back in 1998. Marcus says the book publishing business is going through what the music industry experienced more than a decade ago when music lovers found the download function on their computers. For our how-to series, The Book Show's Deborah McCoy spoke to Marcus Westbury about changes for publishing in an e-book world.
For writers, it's going to depend a lot on, I guess, how you make a living as a writer and where you get your work out there. One of the things that disappears very quickly is the territorial nature of publishing. So if you're an Australian writer and you can, you know, like genre writers are probably way ahead in this area. If you're a science fiction writer, for example, you're less speaking to a territory and much more to a global community of science fiction readers. I think more writers are going to become more like that. They're going to have to develop these large-scale niche audiences and get their work out there that way and make a living from people paying them to write. The other thing I think that's going to happen is probably similar to what's happening in music, which is that the writing becomes the bait for a larger series of activities, which, you know, could be anything from merchandising through to speaking engagements through to all those other ways that writers, and, you know, certainly non-fiction writers, I think, have done that for a long time. And, you know, the Australian, you know, the non-fiction publishing market in Australia for most authors doesn't pay all that well. But it gives them an entry point to getting their expertise out there and increasing the value, you know, the amount of money they can earn from doing other things. So I think that aspect is probably going to become more heightened. I guess, you know, the question is probably if you're, you know, if you're a kind of lower to middle ranking novelist who can still get published, get your work into bookstores and enough of a push to kind of make you a reasonable amount of income out of it, it may be that the system that you're relying on to do that, the publishing companies and the bookstores, may be about to disappear, and that could be a big challenge. That's certainly been where the layer in music has disappeared, is those, you know, lower to middle ranking bands who, you know, who could at least get a display in a CD store and have people come in and buy them.
And what about you personally? Because you spoke at this session about the reasons, really, that you haven't published a book.
It's not so much I don't want to see my name in print in that way, but I mean, I've had offers, you know, several offers down the year to publish a book. I foolishly signed a contract for a book I never finished quite a few years ago, and I have repeatedly find myself in discussions with publishers and getting almost to the verge of writing a book and then backing off from it. And I think the reasons are a few. I mean, one is that I'm a very conversational writer in the sense that I like to put things out there in sort of smaller chunks and have people respond to them. You know, every time I publish a column in The Age, I put my email address on the end of it and genuinely welcome that feedback. It helps me kind of refine my thinking and my response. The idea that I would write a sort of 70, 80,000 word tome and deliver it fully complete is a little bit odd. And there's other factors as well. I mean, I'm very interested. A lot of what I'm very interested in is very current. It's very, very situated in the kind of immediacy of now. And what I found, what caught me out the first couple of times I attempted to write a book, was realizing that, you know, you'd spend a year writing it, and you spend another 6 months waiting for it to get published, and another 6 months beyond that, and various other things. And you wake up one day and you've got 80,000 words that describe something that's over now, you know? And I think that's a big challenge, is that time lag thing. I think one of the things as publishing becomes more digital, that one of the things I think that will disappear very quickly is the time lag factor. It's a bit of a throwback, actually, I think, in a lot of ways. So, you know, both of those are strong factors and reasons why I haven't done it. And
so do you see yourself as almost like a pamphleteer, you know, of a couple of centuries ago, that you write something that is current, controversial, perhaps, you know, you aim to be provocative or not, as the case may be, and then it gets very quickly into the marketplace for comment?
Yeah, look, I don't, the funny thing is I don't ever think I'm being all that controversial. I just kind of, you know, I write about what's going on around me, and it's only when that you put something out there and it arrives with an audience that has a different set of expectations that I discover that, you know, people aren't just nodding their head in furious agreement, as I think they all should be. But I think that, I mean, those analogies are interesting. I mean, it's, you know, it's easy to forget that the kind of the formal structures of publishing and distribution that we've had for the last 50, 100 years. There's nothing particularly natural or inevitable about them. I write for a newspaper. There used to be hundreds of newspapers. The sort of one-two newspaper town monopoly is a very recent phenomenon. And equally, the way that the book publishing industry works is something that's particularly the sort of current global consolidated nature of the book publishing industry is a very recent phenomenon as well. So yeah, in a lot of ways, I think the way I write, part of it sort of is very contemporary, but part of it goes back to that much earlier, conversational tradition of writing.
And the big things, I suppose, that you lose in all of that are the power of the distribution and the marketing power that the publishing companies have. Distribution, I suppose, is an interesting one because, as you say, it's going to depend very much on the take-up rate of e-books and how that plays out. What about the marketing side of it?
Yeah, I think the marketing's interesting. I mean, again, it depends on... I think publishers... I'm talking in a very generic sense here, but I think publishers market some things very well and some things very badly, So if you're writing to a specialist audience and you get lumped with a generic publicist who, only knows how to get you in the literary section of the papers, for example, it may be that marketing is not particularly effective or it's actually counterproductive. Equally, though, there's a lot of writers for whom that's the ladder they need to get on to get to their audience. So that can be very buried. I mean, I think about the things that the publishers I have worked with, whether it's for a newspaper or even, writing, presenting on television or other things, they do give you certain things. They give you deadlines, they give you structure, they give you editing and support. One of the sub-editors at The Age picked me up on a clanger the other week that would have otherwise have gone into print and saved me from myself, thinking I knew more than I did. But equally, if you write that online, you can just go back and, edit it, after the first three people point that out. So, some of these conventions are kind of changing over time. But I think we will get a larger volume of more immediate writing, which will be rawer, less edited, less refined, less thought through in a lot of ways, which is obviously problematic for a lot of reasons. But equally, there's elements of that, I think, that are probably healthy as well.
Yes, the role of the editor not to be underestimated, is it? Because, you can see an awful lot of stuff and read an awful lot of stuff online, and anything can now be published. And that's, as you say, a very good and a very bad thing too.
Yeah, and I think the one thing if I could take one thing from the publishing industry and put it in my pocket, it would be an editor to carry around with me everywhere. But equally, there's also some benefits in that. I think if people are exposed to more, as a young writer, I think I was very intimidated by how refined all the writers I was reading seemed to be, and I just assumed they possessed incredible capacity for brilliant kind of self-correction and skills that I didn't have. I now realise that, they have editors that kind of do that for them. So, in some ways, some of that immediacy, it comes with a loss, but I think it also makes the process of writing perhaps a little bit more real and accessible to a lot of people who wouldn't otherwise write. Mm.
Yes, and as you say, there is that instant correctability that you don't have in other forms. But there's also the question of marketing, and if you want people to read you, they've got to know about you, and you're in a position where you're known because of, well, really mainstream publishing, that is television programs and newspapers, which a lot of people don't have, do they? I mean, that's a kind of an advantage, so that yours is a name that's recognised, much more than it would be if you were simply relying entirely on your online profile.
Yeah, I think that's true. Although I would probably say that the reason I ended up doing TV shows and writing for newspapers is that I've probably spent, 10, 15 years almost now as part of a community engaging with ideas, and I started the National Young Writers Festival in 1998 working with a community of self-published writers and zine makers and people who were writing in all sorts of unconventional kind of ways, have been an active kind of participant in discussions and forums and processes of getting things out there. And I think in some ways the more high-profile things I'm doing now are the legacy of those processes, it's not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people at the session came along looking for some advice. Mm. What would you say to that, to people who have something that they want to have as wide a distribution as possible? What are the options for them?
Well, it depends a little bit. I mean, I could probably speak to nonfiction, but there's a continual, constant conversation going on around most issues at the moment, whether they're on blogs or forums or websites or whatever. And I think, one of my key you know, bits of advice to any writer is to participate in the conversation, because it allows you to refine your writing and your point of view and get it out there more clearly, but also because ultimately the other participants in that conversation are both the market for the works you're trying to get out there and the conduits to the wider market for the work you're trying to get out there. So I've found that, you know, in projects I've been involved in, other things I've been doing, that reaching out one-on-one, you know, sending emails to people, reaching out one-on-one, writing posts and drawing them to the attention of people who are interested in them, putting them on my blog, not getting paid to do it, but just these are the ideas that I'm, you know, contemplating this week, opens up the dialogue, and it's in turn opened up the opportunity to write and publish and be actively engaged with the communities of ideas I'm interested in. And I think most people that are interested in ideas are doing that instinctively anyway. But I think when you step back from that a bit, you think of yourself as a writer and you get focused on the idea of publishing a book, it's easy to lose sight of that.
Writer, blogger and columnist Marcus Westbury. And ABC Radio National's Australia Talks program is running a forum on e-books next week in collaboration with the Brisbane Writers Festival. You can be part of the program's live audience at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, July the 13th. You can join Paul Barclay and the Australian Talks team at the Queensland Symphony Orchestra Building in Ferry Road, West End in Brisbane, if you happen to be there. This is The Book Show on ABC Radio National.